The gospel reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 20. Begin reading with verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19, read through verse 31. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wound left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, the disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miracles and signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have in this morning's gospel reading two separate events. One is an account of what takes place the evening of the resurrection. On that occasion, the disciples were gathered behind locked doors, fearing for their own lives. The resurrected Christ came and stood among them, showing them the nail-scarred hands and the wound in his side. But Thomas, verse 24, tells us, was not with them. So the other disciples find Thomas. Upon finding him, they repeat Mary's Easter sermon. But they're not just repeating what they heard. They put Easter in a first-person proclamation. "We have seen the Lord." It wasn't enough for Thomas. He still didn't believe. For Thomas, it would take more than a sermon, more than a story. Upon hearing the Easter message, Thomas said, "Unless I see the nails in the mark of the nails in his hands and put my hand in the wound in his side, I will not believe." And the second account we see in the gospel reading takes place a week later. The disciples were again in a house. This time, Thomas is with them. Some have asked and wondered why Thomas wasn't with the disciples the evening of the resurrection. Who knows? Maybe he responded to grief differently than his friends. Perhaps he was ready for what is called some reconstruction, ready to put the loss behind him, to begin putting broken pieces of his life back together, ready to begin a new chapter of his life. After all, he had devoted 3 of the best years of his life to following Jesus. And now the cross stood as an exclamation point, declaring that that chapter had definitely come to a conclusion. Why waste any more time getting on with whatever was next for him? Maybe he was ready to pursue life at a different pace, make up for lost time, ready to get back in the flow, catch up with friends and family with whom he had lost touch while on the road with Jesus, see what he had been missing out on during what had proven to be a wild goose chase. Time is precious. He didn't want to waste any more of it on what surely seemed now like a bad investment. Who knows why Thomas wasn't with the disciples the evening of the resurrection? Would you have been? A better question might be, why was Thomas with them the next Sunday? What brought him back to the fold after having once made a break? A breath of wide open space. And yet, why did he return to the other side of the locked door? Again, we can't be sure why Thomas returned to his place within the circle of the disciples. Now, this much is for sure. It wasn't because he believed. He returned despite his unbelief. He'd heard the report of the risen Christ coming to them, but because he hadn't seen it, he wasn't going to believe what they said. Still, there he was, but not because he was a believer. He was, will forever be known as Doubting Thomas. Why did he come back? Maybe whatever he had been doing since the resurrection just wasn't working out for him. Maybe being released from his commitment to faithfully follow Jesus didn't bring all the results he had hoped for. Maybe the world had passed him by. Maybe the promise of satisfaction in pursuing the newfound freedom was proving to be an empty dream. Maybe after trying one thing or another, anything he could find, he was still left with the same grief, the same feeling of disorientation that had fallen over him that dreadful Friday as he saw Jesus crucified. Maybe, just maybe, after having been with Jesus, other pursuits had lost their appeal. But it wasn't because he believed what his friends had told him about the Christ coming to be with them. Maybe a better moniker for Thomas might be Honest Thomas. He was honest enough to refuse to say he believed something that he didn't believe. He was even honest enough to admit that everything he was doing with his time just wasn't helping. Nothing he tried could help overcome his sense of misdirection. If he was honest, everything he was doing just left him with a nagging sense of emptiness after having been with Jesus. There was no place else for Honest Thomas to turn. So he went back to his place among the disciples, whether he believed them or not. When he looked at them, Thomas undoubtedly saw their shared history. These were the guys with whom he had shared so many unforgettable experiences. They had worked side by side, doing impossible things, miraculous things. Together, they had passed out food and boxed up the leftovers when Jesus fed the multitude with a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. He had been saved along with them when Jesus calmed the stormy sea. He had paired up with a buddy and gone out on a mission trip, healing the sick, commanding demons, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. These were his people. Where else could he go? Thomas shared a history with these guys, a history that went beyond the fascinating life experiences they had in common. But for Thomas, it was about more than the people. It was a shared history that centered around Jesus and his own personal commitment to Jesus. It was Thomas who spoke up when Jesus could not be dissuaded from making that fateful trip into Jerusalem, saying, "Come, let us go and die with him." Was that it? Was it the echo of his own once decisive commitment that came ringing back in his ears from the empty chambers through which he raced, seeking an escape from his own fear? Honest Thomas knew that what he was doing just wasn't working. So he went back, returning to his place among the disciples. Even if he didn't believe Christ had risen and come to them, if he was honest, and he was, he had to admit that what they were doing seemed to be working better than what he was doing. Well, they had experienced the same tragic grief and loss, the same disappointing turns in life as he had. They were rejoicing, and he was not. Thomas knew the depths of despair from which they had emerged. If they could ever find anything in which to rejoice after hitting such extreme depths, maybe it was something he needed. At least it offered him some hope. Their rejoicing was more than cheerfulness, more than happiness, certainly more than satisfaction. The joy that Thomas saw in his friends was powerful enough to alleviate despair and offer strength to endure the challenging confines of life. This joy was unique. That's what made it so compelling. It overcame his disbelief. How could he not go back? If Thomas was honest, and he was, he would have to admit what they had was what he was looking for. Joy. Thomas didn't seem to be quite sure of the source of their joy. Oh, he knew they claimed it was because the risen Christ had come to them, but he really doubted that. But if he was honest, and he was, he had to admit, if he experienced something like that, he would not only believe, he would rejoice too. So he returned because he was honest enough to admit what he was doing wasn't giving him joy. Not like the joy he had known when he was working with them. Not like the joy he had known when he was faithful to his call to live and die with Jesus. Honest Thomas would tell us that where he had the truest encounter with joy and with life was back there with the disciples. Oh, maybe there had been sacrifices involved in following Jesus, but the joy of following Jesus and being among believers couldn't be found anywhere else he was looking. Something unexpected happens when Thomas returns to his place among the disciples. He found not only joy, he found the truest source of joy. It was more than an escape from the futility of his own maddening and empty pursuits. It was more than just being back with his people. It was a joy of returning to the path to which Christ had called him. It was the joy of knowing when he was honest enough to admit where his true joy was to be found, and going there, what was true for others could still be true for him. The risen Christ was sure to come to him too. And the approach was not one with condemning judgment, but with grace, which acknowledged Thomas' deepest doubts. The good news of the gospel is that you can always go back. No matter what you've missed or where you've turned, there is always a place for you in the circle of believers. There is always grace enough to find that the risen Christ will come to you through every door that you think might have been closed. There is still joy to be had, a joy that begins somewhere beyond us, a joy that spreads beyond us, a joy that moves us to say with Thomas when we see the risen Christ in all the places he shall appear to us, "My Lord and my God." Amen.